Yeah, welcome to the catch up. Took a trip down memory lane today with Back in My Day. Today it was Gabba Memories, Marto.
Oh, it was a lovely old trip down memory lane, wasn't it? I'd forgotten that day I went into the scoreboard and my mates locked me in there.
How old were you?
Old enough to know better, 24, age, 6, 7.
Oh, here am I thinking young 14-year-old Marto was sticking his head out of scoreboard. No, he's 24. Drunk.
I can remember, you remember how they had proper steel cans? I don't know if you remember that, before aluminium cans. You could build little mounds, like they're 6 inches high. You'd put a heap of them around about 9 or 12 and you'd stand on that to elevate yourself.
That's and they'd hold you.
Oh, it'd be great, yeah.
Little grandstand. Wow. Make your own little personal grandstand.
You got hit in the noggin with one of those. You knew about it. There was a lot of split skulls. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Jeez. We had a chat to Tracy Spicer about all the stuff to do with Don Burke. And, yes, there are more names coming.
Mm-hmm. Plenty in the catch-up. Oh, yes.
Can I just... What about when Brendan was telling us the trouble he had at the cricket on day three? Brendan, whenever you're ready, you got your leg splashed by urine at the urinal.
Yeah, late on day three. It was the first time I've ever had to wipe my hands and then wipe my leg as well after the urinal episode. Mm. It was just very splashy. He was just very drunk. I don't know what happened.
This is why there are no such thing as, really, the idea of communal toilets has taken off. Because it won't and it hasn't and it shouldn't and that is why.
But he should know better. He should go to a toilet. He should go to a toilet. He shouldn't have to splash me.
Can I just see? Now, the cricket are the wall ones, okay? Robin, at Ballymore, have you ever been into the toilets at Ballymore? They had a round one where you actually all wee into this centre like
That's
a fountain,
a bit weird.
Contributing to a fountain. You should see him. I'll take a photo one day. That's weird looking at each other.
Yeah.
We should talk about etiquette.
That's very
actually.
Weird.
Yeah. We should talk about etiquette because he was very close to me too. He was too close.
Yeah, let's get to it.
And there was
so there is
space.
Such a thing as urinal etiquette.
Well,
oh,
I was right in the corner. I was
anyone.
Right in the corner too, Marto. So yeah. he boxed me in, I guess, to use a traffic analogy.
Boxed it to a trotting analogy?
Yes.
See, here was me thinking it was just about doing a wee.
But oh, no. If oh, you no, no, dare look at another bloke's old fella, woo.
What happens?
Well, yeah, that happened to me too, but that's a story for another time as well.
Had a rough time of it. You're going to catch up.
Jeez.
Eyes up.
Team Moto Motorcycles, full of Christmas presents riders really want.
Back in my day.
Hey, talking about back in my day, we're going to have a look at the Gabba because lunchtime Monday brought the curtain down on one of the great Australian cricket careers. After 33 years, after 27 test matches at the Gabba, Kevin Mitchell Jr. is finally stepping down. Well, he's officially stepping down tomorrow, but that was his last game on Monday. He's stepping down as the groundsman for the Gabba. That means looking after the lines, looking after the practice wickets, looking after everything at the Gabba. That's Kev. He doesn't have to clean the pool at the pool deck, but he does. He's done everything else. And over the years... Oh, well, yesterday we ended up talking to him and I banged on for too long. It went for about 12 minutes, so just got to grab little bits and pieces. Like his old man was the groundsman before him at the Gabba, head groundsman. Okay, and before that was the Lord Mayor of Brisbane, Clem Jones. If you don't know, the Clem Seven Tunnel's named after him. Mm. And we asked Kevy Mitchell about what was Clem Jones like. He was the mayor, but what else did we not see?
They had some money to knock down one of the old wooden stands. And so Clem was sort of had a few hats on, obviously. Yeah, and so he was there when the demolition squad was there. And he thought, oh, well, while they're here, they might as well knock the other one down. So they knocked
another grandstand.
Down yeah. So apparently on the Monday morning, they weren't real happy with him because they only had enough money to rebuild one. But the story goes that he was going to get, into a fair bit of trouble. And he walked in with an old rusty bit of steel and a bit of termite-ridden timber that they reckon they found from Whitesville Dump and said, well, this is what we found when we pulled the other one down, so we thought we'd knock it down while we're there.
Excellent.
Good
Excellent.
Stuff.
That is good stuff.
Actually, Gabba. So what we're looking for is anyone who's had great times at the Gabba and remembers when, because they also remember the Greyhound track. Every Thursday night there was
Gabba Greyhounds.
And it was on after the cricket. Well, Kev tells you.
Yeah, it was really interesting because, obviously we had, cricket in the daytime and then after a Thursday night Greyhound meeting, there was 60 inner track lights that you had to drop. So I remember during the one day internationals when they used to let everyone on the dog, and you'd, they'd be sticking chicken bones and paddle pop sticks and ring pulls and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, took you a few days to make it safe again, yeah.
That is so old school. It's so wonderful because, there's an article in the paper today. Someone's having a go at the Gabba, but you kind of... What happens is what's happening in soccer stadiums is they all just become sanitised. Is they all no nothing has any character anymore. Wow. You've got grounds that have some character and some history, Marto and Robin. That is part of the fun of going to the sporting events.
So you know, true. So. Well, they're saying that Gabba's going to miss out on a test next year because we're only getting four against India, and Sydney got to get one, Melbourne got to get one, Adelaide is so good now, their stadium's beautiful, and Perth have got their new stadium. We're now the ugly sister and ugly cousin and all this. Mm. Kev mentioned one more thing. He may have had one of the earliest touches unknowingly with an Indian bookmaker.
It's quite funny, the secretary at the time, Mike Giles, back in the 90s, he used to they come down to the office, Kev, there's a bloke from, well, it was Bombay in those days, and there'd be a guy talking and asking you, you know, what is the weather, and yeah. You were thinking we'll be good for the fast bowlers, and we'd give him a bit of info, and there was nothing untoward about it, I didn't think anyway, but maybe there was.
Classic stuff.
Give him a bit of info. Just some bloke rolling in from Mumbai asking about the weather and the pitch. It's so wonderfully old school. So if you've your memories of the Gabba, 1-3-3-5-3. Maybe you were there that time when we won the Shield for the first time.
Can I give you my favourite? I was mentioned with my mate the other day. You used to be able to go on the field at the end of the day's play. You could go over and look at the cricket pitch yourself. You'd stand around it. Wow. Everyone who was at the cricket could walk onto the field, have a look at the pitch, and one day we were able to bowl to Viv Richards. They just finished the day's play. They were having a hit, and they're inviting anybody to have a bowl at them just in front of where they sit.
Incredible.
Mate, it used to be, and now you can't even take...
Why was Richards waiting for kids to bowl at him? Because it was the weirdest thing either.
He was just doing it. He was a man of the people, Viv Richards.
They all were doing it. Gordon Greenidge was next to him. Not in a net. You're just bowling on the normal outfield of the gallery. He just wanted a hit. Adrian, can you tell everyone, Adrian from Upper Mount Gravatt, tell everyone what you used to be able to take in.
Guys, I remember going to the cricket years and years and years ago when I was a little fella. With the guys from the Aussie Rules Club around here, and they would take, Marto, you'd probably remember the old air pot. It was like a big thermos, and it had that pump on the top. You could pump your coffee out of it.
Yeah.
They'd take that full of Bundaberg rum, and then you'd get it at the gate, and they'd give it to one of the kids, and you'd walk through the gate with it, and the security, if you could call it that, would say, oh, what have you got there? And you'd say, oh, I've just got my cordial, mate, and... They go, okay, in you go, and once you get inside, you give it back to the footy boys, and
off you go.
They've got their rumbos all day.
Oh, Adrian, I've got these headphones I need brought back from Colombia, mate. You seem to have some experience. Do you remember, I reckon in the early 70s, this is before I was old enough to know any better, they used to take their own Eskies,
Eskies. Yes, they did.
Because they knew they'd kill them. They didn't want to take the Eskie home. Full of beer, their own beer.
Yep.
And you didn't have to smuggle. You just, in you come.
There's footage when they show when it rains and you see the old World Series cricket games. Yeah. If they show the footage early enough, you sometimes see guys holding one end of a bin each, one lid of a, like one handle of an old metal bin with ice in it full of beers.
Yeah.
That is not an uncommon.
It used to be BYO.
Oh, those were the days. Bernadette of Carina. Oh, you went to a kindergarten?
I went to kindergarten at actual Gabba's, yes.
Because there's a school there now.
No, not in the school. Where this one of the stands was down the Wellington Street end, there was an actual kindergarten with a huge big tree. And that's where I went. Yeah, so I went to kindergarten there, and then we would play on the field, and we used to crawl through all the signs.
Oh, of course, yes, crawl through all the advertising.
What a great thing.
But did you have to wear helmets at playtime in case any cricket balls came flying over the fence?
No, we were fenced in, but it was an excellent place to go to kindy.
Oh, that's funny.
Then it just got gobbled up. We need that kindergarten.
I do wonder when I see the school, what is it? Is it South Brisbane?
East Brisbane State School.
Whether they have obviously made money out of the big stands and the
But they park in there.
Do they get free tickets to everything at the Gamma?
I don't know.
Oh, wouldn't you though?
There'd be a back door. I bet you there's some sneaky way to get into the Gabba.
Daryl of Tenerife, what are your Gabba memories?
Back about 1958, when Australia had to make about 140 to win the test, I went and watched Norm O'Neill and Neil Harvey, a couple of blokes that you would probably have heard of.
Jeez.
Knock off the winning runs. I also watched Rugby League Grand Finals there in the 50s. They used to play the Rugby League Grand Final at the Gabba when we only had the Brisbane clubs.
Did they?
Yep.
Did they used to? Why wouldn't they have played at Lang Park?
Because they didn't have Lang Park till 1959.
Is that when Lang Park got built? Good Lord.
Hey, yeah. Daryl, how much did it cost you to get in? Do you remember?
Well, my uncle paid for me, probably threepence.
Yeah, threepence.
What's a threepence, Mum?
What's about, no, threepence, if you're wondering, is about a quarter of a Bitcoin these days. Yeah. That's how much.
And then just a couple of years ago, I was lucky enough to go to the Gabba and watch my daughter play AFL for the Lions.
Oh, she's God. In the team. She's so, in the team. She's in the team for the women AFL women's.
That's correct. Yes.
Oh, what, do you want to tell us her name?
Yeah, Kate McCarthy.
Oh my God!
Kate McCarthy, the star of the team. What are you talking about, Daryl?
What an athlete.
Well, I can't pump her up too much, mate.
So, Daryl, all fantastic. That history, and you bred Kate McCarthy. Very proud, mate. Nice.
Yeah, done all right.
Yeah, he did, and so is she. Well done.
Keys to the city, Daryl.
Daryl, well, you are now our AFL women's expert. Thanks,
congrats,
mate.
Daryl.
Call me anytime. Bye.
Aussie Music's Night of Nights last night.
We all had a watch, didn't we?
Yeah, came we on did. And we
all, there
There's
you go.
There's nothing else on.
It was great. I loved how all the old blokes won stuff and all the young people in the audience went, who is that it's old fella? Paul Kelly, really, guys. Yeah. Jim Barnes, guys.
Yeah, Jimmy Barnes in a kilt.
Daryl Braithwaite, guys. That's who that is. Shut up.
It was a very two-paced event. There were those that knew the young folk, and then like the Harry Styles wanted the people that wanted to see Harry Styles, and the people that were happy to see Daryl Braithwaite. And some of the go through some of these nominees and winners. See if you know them. Here's one from a young Gold Coast lass. There's one.
Amy Shark.
Yeah, Amy Shark with a door. She used to be the video editor at the Gold Coast Titans.
Did she just? Ooh,
the girl is singing that.
Sure did. Yeah. There you go.
That's a pretty easy job, highlights wise.
Well, no, it's more the things you cut out when you're talking about the Gold Coast Titans. What about this one? This was his best rock.
That's a good song. Who sings this?
This is Gang of Youths with Let Me Down Easy. Now, did that win Best Rock, Brendan?
Best Rock and Album of the Year, Go Father and Lightness is what's that? What that
go,
is from.
Go Best Rock. So are we playing that? I haven't heard it.
We are playing that. Yeah,
yeah, we've played that.
Oh, good. Because if
like
something
that.
Wins Best Rock and we don't play, you're like, oh, hang on a second. Hang on. Are we playing this?
Oh, my kids listen to this.
Yeah, mate, it's so do my kids. What is that?
Come on,
who's
Ed.
This, Brendo?
Oh, this is Peking Duck.
Yeah, this is Peking Duck. They're good fun.
Do we play Peking Duck? No, was it Jess Malvoy on with them last night? Someone was on with them last night.
Jess Malvoy was, yeah. I don't think she sings on this one, but she was just doing some Peking Duck songs.
Yeah, she was Peking Ducking it.
Yeah, I like that.
What are you up to, Ed Cavalier? What are you cooking up here?
What about best children's song? Normally the Wiggles or the Hooly Doolies.
There was a new one they mentioned last night, like the J5s or something or other.
The J5, the Jackson 5, or was it the Jackson Jive? Are they back?
Oh, my God. The tribute band.
Haven't they learned?
Is there a Wiggles tribute band?
Oh, no, they would be sued to the end of the earth if you tried that. So it is, in fact, a young man by the name of Jimmy Barnes, best children's song, this is true, with Okai the Gnu. Take it away, Jimmy. I'm a Gnu.
I love this.
It's only just better than Oompa-pa.
There you go. So what? Now you can have your kids.
Okay, Benny.
Rocking out to Jimmy.
Short step to K-San straight after that. Why doesn't he just kid all his sold songs up?
That's
so
very
common.
Cool.
Well, it is Barnsley as well, so we've added that to rotation as well. So look forward to hearing
Gnu,
it.
Gnu,
the Gnu will be on Triple M.
And then, of course, a Hall of Fame. Now, the Hall of Fame is the one where you get the people up and, oh, yeah, this bloke or that bloke or this lady or that lady. And last time it was, look, Daryl Braithwaite's a nice guy.
Yes. Here's something coming. Look.
Does one novelty single in the 90s qualify you for a Hall of Fame award?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Ooh. Which is the novelty? Yeah, the how's that? You messed no, about. I caught you out. How's
no,
that?
Well, that was Sherbet.
That's Sherbet. This is the novelty single from the 90s.
But he was Sherbet.
Yeah, but he's already in the Hall of Fame. He's in there twice now.
Yeah. Oh, hold on.
Hang on,
that's
which novelty song are you claiming? Oh, come on. Horses is not a novelty song.
It is a joke song.
No, it's not.
The only time it's ever played is at the races so that young people can be like, yeah, I like something old. So they play it ironically at the races. Yeah. That is true. That is absolutely the truth.
Yeah, no, yep. I can't argue that.
And Lisa Wilkinson always says she loves it.
See,
so what?
So she's saying it because she thinks that that's saying that she likes something that's popular but sort of fun at the same time. So it's not an action. No one is. Do we play it? We never play it.
Not often, no.
Does your former employer play it, Robin? Oh, and how?
Well, that's how you know it's not right. Yeah, I don't think you should be in for that. Because then who else can get in? CBD or Aqua or Joke Aqua. Crazy Frog? Like, joke songs can't get you in.
That's not a joke.
A ringtone? How about the here's a way to cut the night down. Ready?
How long did it go first?
Oh, it's still going, I think. So yeah. I think if you... you got to cut the night down. It's too long. When you first see, oh, it's the Australian Music's Night of Nights. Harry Styles, he's cool. Peking Duck, he's cool. Oh, my God, this is going to see her. She's cool. Hi, I'm Richard Wilkins. You go, Jesus, that is. Jesus. Just quickly, I'm about to shorten the whole night. Ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
No acceptance speeches. You tell them before the night that they're going to win. No one knows what Gang of Youths looks like anyway, so who cares? You tell them they're going to win. So when they tell them that they've won, they play. You just throw live and they play the song live that they've won for.
Perfect. Mm. We don't want to hear them talking.
All we got last night, and there is nothing more boring than musicians talking about themselves, is this. This is what we got all night.
Cheers, cheers. This is really cool. Firstly, I got to thank my band who aren't here tonight, Ben Ellingworth and Pat Gabriel.
And Ben.
I shared this with them, so shout out to those boys.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. Maybe we'll move on to
TM, Simon Banco.
Oh, yeah, TM.
The crew
yeah,
that's toured us, with us this
year. Oh, definitely the crew that toured. Anyway, let's get to it. No, let's not have a song yet.
Firstly, Marty Corbett.
Oh, Marty's Corbett. Got to thank Marty. Marty, geez.
I love you.
Oh, he loves
my long-suffering manager, Nick Yates.
Ah, Yatesy!
Everyone that made the tour tick this year, the whole team are unified.
Guys, pull it down, Brendan.
We should have used Achai Banu to bring him off.
Yeah, that's right. Jimmy playing him off. Good idea. Hey, get off. Here comes Jimmy.
Hi, Gary Megan here. If you know me, then you know that I love everything about food, and now I'm sharing that love with my podcast series, A Plate to Call Home. Listen now on Podcast One as I speak to fascinating people about the innovative things that they're doing in food and, of course, share their stories. If you're into food, you'll love my podcast, A Plate to Call Home. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Hey, fair to say that Don Burke had a pretty ordinary day yesterday.
Yeah, fair enough too.
And it was caused by the meltdown that came out of, well, it was ABC and Fairfax went together and they said, let's do an investigation. It was all started up many weeks ago. I know Tracy Grimshaw got involved, but that's only because they thought they'd gazump ABC. This is Monday night. It all came out. Don Burke, wow, what a surprise. Not a surprise to many because there's a girl, an old Brisbane girl, who did a lot of investigation over the last 3 weeks. And as we heard just then on the audio, one name kept on popping up. That was Don Burke. The woman who did a lot of the background is Tracy Spicer. Morning, Trace.
Good morning. Yes, it's been a very busy month and you've seen the results of that over the past couple of days.
Were you surprised originally? I remember a few months ago you put it out there to kind of all media people that you were going to willing to do investigations into Australian media personalities and you wanted people to contact you. As you said, 400 plus people came forward. Were you surprised with what you were hearing?
Yeah, when I saw the Me Too movement after the Harvey Weinstein story broke in the States, it got me thinking that we'd heard about a lot of these instances and a lot of these names working in the Australian media over the past 30 or 40 years. So I put out that little tweet expecting that I'd get maybe a couple of dozen people that would contact me. People are notoriously cagey speaking about this because you're talking about very powerful, very wealthy people. It's terrifying to speak truth to power, right? So then when I got about 400 people contacting me, I was overwhelmed, and now the number's up to about 670. And Kate McClymont, one of the people I'm working with at Fairfax on this, has received 200 complaints in the past 24 hours alone.
So it keeps moving. Trace, can I ask you, we worked in Brizzy and TV in the 80s, 90s. Did this ever occur to you? Is that one of the reasons you're motivated?
Oh, yes. I wrote in my book, The Good Girl Stripped Bare, about a lot of instances that I'd had of sexual harassment and, you know, what we now know is indecent assault, really, in the workplace, a lot of groping and grabbing. But because you kind of live with that for so many years in the media, it becomes normalised. You think, oh, this is just what we've got to put up with to have a job. But what the Me Too movement has shown us is that, you know, it's not what women should have to put up with in the workplace. We've just copped this real terrible structural harassment for too many years now. Women are finally joining together to be able to have the confidence to speak out about it.
The million-dollar question, though, Tracy Spicer, who else?
Oh, dear. Look, at the start, this investigation was characterised as some kind of medieval thing where I was going to put a list on a door of all of the offenders, but it's certainly not like that. It's got much more depth and complexity. We're going to be doing this for years. It took us 4 weeks to investigate the John Burke allegations because there were so many. So we will be certainly, obviously, rolling out other names over the next couple of years, but our main aim is to address the structures within the workplace and society that means this kind of behaviour was accepted, covered up and protected for so long.
It was accepted. Now, are you looking to get prosecutions or are you looking to get a complete change of attitude?
It's such a good question because a complete change of attitude underpins everything in society. The women I've spoken to, I've given them lots of options. Do you want to go to the police? I can get you free legal support. I can talk to the union. I can get you counselling. Or do you want to go to the media? Very few have wanted to lay police charges for the simple fact that when you do lay those criminal charges, you face a court hearing where you might be asked things like, did you have anything to drink? Were you wearing a short skirt? You know, there's still this awful societal attitude where women are so judged if they take police charges. That's why so many have come to the media instead, purely to tell their stories.
But there are lots more, though, Tracy, aren't there? I mean, realistically, as you said, there's a whole culture, and certainly with the Don Burke stuff, the other thing that was infuriating me was how willingly it was allowed to have happen.
Oh, yeah, and more than allowed, I would contend now, having spoken to a lot of former executives at the time, many, many complaints were made about Don Burke at various different levels, right to the top. And yet nothing was done because of the rivers of gold. You know, it was the highest rating program for such a long time on Channel 9, and no one wanted to stop that money flowing. So, in fact, even rather than just allowing it, they kind of enabled it. And this is what we're seeing with a lot of these cases, that the perpetrators are promoted and the women, the victims, are silenced or sidelined. So it's really structural and enabled from the top.
But more names coming is what I'm taking from you.
Yes, there is plenty more to come, I'm sad to say, but I'm hopeful that this will lead to a huge cultural change at a whole bunch of different levels.
Well, we know it will. There's a lot of women will feel a lot better and there's a lot of blokes who'll be very nervous in the next month or so. Thanks very much, Tracy. What's your book again?
Oh, it's called The Good Girl Stripped Bare.
Beautiful. Right.
Tracy Thanks, Spicer, Tracy. Author and broadcaster, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
I'm surprisingly interested in this Prince Harry engagement.
I'm enjoying your interest. Well, ask away.
Well, Kath had shown me, she watches Suits, my wife, and she'd shown me Meghan Markle and she'd given me the heads up months ago going, this is going to happen, it looks likely. You've got to look at the parents. You often find out who you are by looking at your parents. We briefly touched on that yesterday. And, let's go through Meghan Markle's parents.
Her mother, Doria, is a social worker and yoga instructor, while her dad worked as a movie lighting director.
Hang on.
Yoga. So he's lying. Because I saw him describe himself as a movie producer somewhere.
Oh. So no, not either. The hubby, not her former hubby.
No,
this
no,
is the
no,
dad.
The father as well.
I just looked him up on Google.
All right, so he's already talking himself up.
He's a bankrupt living in Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, he and Olivia Newton-John's ex.
Yes. imagine him. What do you do with yourself? Oh, well, not a lot.
And there's a stepbrother, I think, that's had jail time too.
Okay. Now, it's all okay, but I just want to point something out. 46%. Of Australians' marriages end in divorce.
Yes, they do.
This is a modern thing. But have a listen to the backlog. You think of how many people involved in this pairing between Harry and, what's her name, Meghan. How many people are divorced?
In the past, as a divorcee, she wouldn't have been allowed to marry into the royal family.
She's divorced.
With Prince Charles and Camilla, both divorcees, that certainly made it easier for Harry and Meghan.
So Harry's mum's been divorced. Her mum's been divorced. Meghan's been divorced herself. Mm. Prince Charles divorced. Camilla's. Everyone's divorced in this whole thing.
Yeah, but think about if you've been watching the first series of Crown on Netflix, you would have seen the whole Princess Margaret stuff.
No,
hold on. Let's...
That is not a documentary. That is not a documentary.
No, I
that
know, but apparently the Queen
documentary.
Stopped it.
State that again. I watched a documentary called Braveheart, and you'll never believe how close Scotland got to defeating England. It was quite incredible. I watched this other documentary called Jurassic Park. Now, I don't know about you.
Be careful.
But put some pretty interesting questions.
Some of the geckos are getting bigger. Coincidence? I got one more. I'm worried about the future of this already, this relationship.
Why?
Have a close listen, and you both are very good at picking up signals. This is Harry talking about the ring and stuff.
It's beautiful, and he designed it. It's incredible.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah.
Make sure it stays on that finger.
Of course.
Where else would it go?
No, in the scrap heap.
Yeah, in her purse when she goes out for a night out.
Do you reckon?
Well, what else is he saying?
I don't know. Maybe it's a little big. Falls down the sink.
I can see. I don't know if they'll make it to the wedding.
Oh, come on.
It's tough.
Just saying.
Two theories today. We've got a wedding theory and a gecko theory.
Mate, your mum's a yoga teacher.
You're on fire. Can't Owen and Robin, Triple M.
Agree with him.
CSI motto.
Hey, have you noticed how many more people at the gym lately? Do you guys still go to the gyms?
Yeah, it's summer. It's the vibe.
It's bikini body time.
That's right. People go, Jesus, I'm going to have to take my shirt off soon. All right, which prompted me to wonder how many people I'm looking at are on some sort of gear. Ooh. Do you often wonder that at the gym? Because there was an article in the Daily Telegraph. People are taking illicit drugs before before doing their weight, so they feel like Superman in the gym. So the Daily Telly, you know, the Sydney Rugby League paper, it did the same swabbing techniques in toilets and dressing rooms at gyms, okay, in Sydney.
Right.
Same gear that the Australian Federal Police use. 80% of the gym bathrooms they went to, positive for cocaine. Bingo. What the hell is going on?
What does that do to you if you're working out?
I don't know. It'd make your whole body. I guess they say it makes you feel like Superman. So is that what they're doing there? Do you understand this?
I read the locations of the gyms in which it was taken, and some of them are
Kings
Cross, Bondi Junction, these sorts of places. So it is possible that people could be doing it after a workout if they're going out. It could be possible.
Gotcha.
But it also is possible that they could be using it as a pre-workout. Now, these pre-workouts, these have a very checkered history. A mate of mine once ordered one from America, took the dose that was recommended in America, but I don't know why, and then ended up at the doctor's because his vision went. He lost his vision for like 3 hours. No, he just went blind for 3 hours.
All right. We've got
Do you want to know the name of that one?
Yeah. Yes.
It was called Poison. And I remember asking, what did you think
the
would
name
happen?
Of it?
What did you?
That's sensational marketing.
These things are so
We got
powerful.
One still in our fridge. Harry's not, he's away working overseas at the moment. He left his pre-workout. Kath took some and she said, hold on, this isn't good. I feel like I'm having a heart attack. Just took a scoopful and
so
tried
what
it.
Is it? Sugar?
I don't know.
It's definitely caffeine, maybe taurine. I don't know. I never take them.
How many of these athletes now, before they play football, drink Red Bull?
Yeah. Ooh. Do you know that there was one that they took off the market too, which was a real favourite? I don't even think I should say its name in case it's still available somewhere, but it started with O and people will know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's not Ovaltine.
But what it is, giving you a big bloody kick or something.
Yeah, oh yeah. I had friends that would take two of those before a workout and they would just be buzzing for ages.
Can they go longer or go faster or harder? What is it?
Ball. Well, yeah, you got more energy. It just fires up your heart rate.
Red snakes. Like we've had it, we used to buy some snakes, some lollies, and that was it.
Okay.
So who have you got for me, Mr. CSI?
I want to know, workout drinks. What the hell's in them? Do they work and everything else? I'll try to track down an expert, but I want people who go to the... Well, there'll be somebody who'll know. What the hell, do they do anything for you? I'm not talking cocaine. I'm talking these other pre-workout drinks.
Okay. Let's go to Rachel from Logan Lee quickly. Now, Rachel, you used to use them?
Yeah, I did a few years ago because I was working out quite a bit and I thought my friend said, oh, try this. So I tried it. And I had the recommended dose, and it made me feel weird in the head and like I was going to pass out. And I had it twice, and then I said, nah, that's too scary.
Weird,
and I don't know what's in them. They're all this weird stuff.
Well, you know what, Rachel? It's a perfect example because we do have someone who's going to be able to help us.
Oh, have we?
We got Dr. John Wardle, the senior lecturer in public health at UTS.
Yes.
G'day, doctor.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks for talking to us today.
I've seen your name around before. Is this part of your area?
Yeah, so supplements can be a bit of the wild west at the moment. So we try and help people navigate through what they are, what they do, how to use them safely.
So what's in most of these pre-workouts? Because we keep hearing stories of heart fluttering, I feel weird, I feel like I'm going to pass out. Well, what's in them?
Well, basically, essentially, they're stimulants. So in most of the pre-workout drinks in Australia, the two main active ingredients are usually very, very, very high doses of caffeine and creatinine.
Oh, creatine. Ah,
and okay. So basically, generally at a dose, those two ingredients are pretty safe at appropriate doses. The big issue is that the doses that are often used aren't necessarily appropriate. They're excessive. So
why are we using them, though? Is it make you work out longer or harder or faster? What is it?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It's not actually about what they do to the muscle itself. It's about letting you do 8 reps instead of 6 or, letting you work more intensely to actually get the muscle growth that you want. So ultimately,
But some of these have been banned, though. I remember there's every now and again you'll hear of one that you're not allowed to sell anymore, Doctor.
Yeah, so there was a supplement called DMAA, which was responsible for a number of deaths in the US.
What?
And that's been banned in Australia by the TGA, so... thankfully, that's not included any now. But as a response to that now, if you look at a lot of workout drinks, what they've done to respond to that not being included anymore is they've, in some cases, actually upped the dose of the other ingredients. So, caffeine is substantially higher now. Yeah, so if you're happy drinking 5 cups of coffee in a single sitting, that's essentially what you're doing with a lot of these workout drinks.
So is there any long-term impact?
Well, this is the key. So dose and duration are the two main issues. So, the ingredients are safe if they're taken in an appropriate dose, and they're not meant to be taken long-term. So generally, if you are using them, you should really be cycling them, and you shouldn't be relying on them long-term. And ultimately, if you're not sleeping properly, if you're not eating properly, if you're not drinking properly, and you're not having good recovery techniques, ultimately they're not going to work anyway.
Dr. John, let's say I'm a young bloke driving into work now and I'm going, oh, righto, well, I should take his advice. So I would only take it if I've finished work, I want to go to the gym and I need a bit of a pump up. Otherwise, if you're feeling well, don't just take it.
Well, if you feel as though they're essentially energy, they're almost like energy drinks. So if you're feeling like you need the extra energy, taking them in the afternoon afterwards is probably not a good idea because they've got, in some cases, 5 cups of coffee worth of caffeine in them. You probably won't get to sleep that night. Mm. So taking them intermittently is not necessarily harmful, but a lot of the side effects people have is because the amounts of stimulants in them are quite substantial.
All right, Dr. John Wardle, Senior Lecturer in Public Health at UTS, talking about pre-workout drinks. Thanks for your time.
No problems. Thanks, guys.
Marto, Ed and Robin, Triple M.
G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about The Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Ah, thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's The Howie Games and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Ed, can I ask you, Saturday afternoon, evening, Robin, join in. Sorry, I don't mean to ignore you. Saturday evening, did you know what's going on Saturday? We got the cricket starts at 1:30 our time, okay? So 1:30 adds 7 hours. It goes until 8:30.
Day-nighter,
pink ball. And the action really starts to happen in pink ball test after the sun goes down.
A bit of dusk work.
Yeah, it's tough. Even if you're seeing them like watermelons, Robin, when that sun goes down, you go, jeez, where did that come
from?
So
is the pink ball so that you can see it during the night bit?
Yeah,
it's not they couldn't breast cancer.
The white ball won't last long enough, and the pink ball was sort of, that'll do. And they got there, and it's not about fashion or anything.
No, just joking.
Anyway, so that's on, and it'll be right at 7 p.m. It'll be right in the peak of the final period. Decisive moments will be occurring, correct?
Yep.
All right. What are you going to do if I tell you the World Cup final between Australia and England rugby league is on at 7 p.m.?
I have to flick over, don't I?
Will you just be flicking?
I have to.
All right. That's me too. I thought I was smart.
No, you won't. You're going to be there. So you'll be the guy with the phone looking down.
I'm not coming anymore.
Oh.
Sorry, does that let you down?
Well, no, but...
I couldn't, because I can't, if I'm there, I can't, if I'm at Lang Park, I can't flick.
Fair enough.
All right. But the point I wanted to ask was, let's work that out later. That's going to be a big one. So Channel 7 against Channel 9, that's a real showdown for the crown. What do Kiwis do? Can we just play the haka just so Kiwis... A little bit more. They're just starting to wake up, Kiwi. What do Kiwis do Saturday night? Because they love England, obviously, more than we do. But do they love us? Like, I understand when Kiwis come here, they'll support us, Queensland in origin, but they, and I'm happy for them to keep on to the All Blacks for rugby. What do they do in rugby league and cricket? Who do they like and hate?
I'd have to ask them. I don't know.
Robin?
I don't know who they're going to be going for.
Any Kiwis in your life?
I think they might go for us.
Who are you going for? Who, when it's Australia v England, where do your loyalties lie? Maybe you're a, is there any instances, Kiwis, where you'll go for Australia? I assume that we were the enemy. I thought we were the enemy, and it was everyone
New Zealand
are
playing
us.
England. Who are you going for it?
New Zealand.
There you go, guys.
Yeah, I'm worried, mate. One of my closest mates is a Kiwi. He's gone, what a ridiculous question. He's going, we all support Australia. I don't think that's true. Give?
I'm afraid you're wrong, Marto.
You are going?
And Australia through and through, though. They're the greatest rugby league team in the world, so why wouldn't you support them?
Ooh, so going with the winners.
Do you own an Origin jersey, Give?
I do indeed.
Good boy, see? Good Kiwi. Oh, but Kiwi, you also support the All Black Blicks, don't you?
You couldn't be a Kiwi and not support the All Blacks.
Yeah, no.
Okay, well, there you go.
Good Kiwi.
Gavin's a right-thinking individual. Good well played, Kiwi. Gavin.
Evan. Evan.
Evan. Evan.
Evan.
Evan. Oh, dear.
You live at Vicky Point, Evan.
Yep, that's the one.
Oh, how good is it, mate? I was down there on the weekend. You reckon it's a good place to live?
Oh, beautiful.
I love it. Anyway, who are you going for? Poms?
It's got to be Australia.
Oh, thanks.
So what's the view of England in New Zealand, Evan? Is it like, look, because they're the old country or whatever you want to call it, that you don't ever go for them? Because I never go for England. Doesn't matter who they're playing. I refuse to go for them.
No, you don't want to go into the Northern Hemisphere, do you?
That's right. Oh,
that's the Southern Hemisphere
thing. Wow, another angle on it. Interesting.
Hey,
yeah.
Did you know that New Zealand's got two national anthems? They've got God Save the Queen and God Defend New Zealand. You can use either or. Do you know that yet?
God Defend New Zealand, that's the only one.
No, yeah, but technically you can
sing really?
God Save
Both
the Queen.
Both of them still
That's
stand
why I'm
true.
Asking this. They have God Save the Queen as their alternative national anthem.
Does that mean they didn't have... Because that was the last proper referendum that Australia had was to change it to Advance Australia Fair from God Save the Queen. That
was
mean that
was in the 80s.
I remember my dad voted for We'll Sing Matilda.
Yeah,
we
good
had
man.
That whole conversation.
Got some good Kiwis, hey?
Weird.
What about Owen? Owen!
There you go, mate.
Where are you from? What part of New Zealand?
Auckland Way, Waikato.
Yeah, mighty Waikato, banks off. Who are you going for?
Counties, actually, counties, so that's even better.
Oh, near Pukekohe.
Yeah, mate.
All right. Hey, who are you going for?
I'll watch the first game, actually, with more interest, the women's, because the Kiwis are in that. So
that's
be
true.
The...
Yeah, there you go. Good technicality. But what about in the men's game later on, Australia versus England? Who are you going for?
Oh, look, it's got to be the Poms. I want to see the top dogs knocked off, eh?
That is horrific.
Tall poppy syndrome there from Owen.
That's
full of
Queenslanders, and I go from New South Wales, so that's
even
better.
That
is
horrific. Owen, you're an outsider living amongst us. Okay, push on. Good. He can have his life.
The only good thing he mentioned, though, is it is a double header on Saturday night.
Yeah,
so if you
true.
Want to get two good games of rugby league, you can see the women's first and the blokes.
It's December 2. Summer started. I don't know whether I think rugby league should bugger off before summer begins.
Okay, Wayne.
Wayne.
Yeah, mate.
How are you, mate? Are you actually a Kiwi?
Yep, sure, buddy.
Right, who are you going for? Australia, righto.
Ah, mate, you got to go for the cousins across the ditch. Yeah. You got to look out for the whardo, bro.
Right. Can we give him a prize?
Yes, indeed. Gavin, Evan, Wayne, you're all getting Hoppy's Super Washes, Hoppy's Hand Wash Cafe, Bowen Hills, Norman Park, Toowong, and Gold Coast.
Owen, who's going for the Poms?
You'll notice I omitted Owen from that because Owen is horrific. This Friday, December 1st, that's Ed Cavalier's last show, first of all, which is going to be a lot of fun. There's not going to be mushy and emotional. It's going to be a lot of fun on
Friday.
I'm
emptying my desk. I've actually been collecting a lot of quite good prizes, i.e. signed jerseys, work boots, that type of thing. Mm. I've been saving them up and I'll be dishing them out on Friday.
Which is going to be great, but it's also Triple M's biggest skin check where you can get your skin checked for free in a relaxed place. And this is a very important thing, isn't it, Marta?
Oh, God, yeah. If you get this early, you'll be right. You can beat melanoma. But if you don't, if it goes undiagnosed, there's people get, that end up dying or get a brain. They go, oh, you got brain cancer. Why? Because of melanoma. Oh, you got lung cancer. That's the first place it goes. Get this sorted out, boys and girls, straight away. Jimmy Rods, you know, does the hair, our great friends at Oxley, Woolloongabba, North Lakes, or the one in Queen Street, 480 Queen Street in the city. Four places, Woolloongabba, North Lakes, Oxley, Jimmy Rods, or the Jimmy Rods in the city. The doctors from Doctors Link are going to do the full once over and give you the kick. We don't do it often enough. You're supposed to do it once a year. You know how quickly one year, you know, the year ticks over and you go, oh, I haven't checked my skin, maybe next year. This Friday.
Marta and I are doing it. We're both going to get our skin checked, so if we can do it, so can you.
Together?
Well.
No, we'll separate you with a curtain.
From nine till check each other.
No. From 9 till 2 this Friday, it's all thanks to our mates at Monstrat Day Hospitals providing high-quality healthcare locally. triplem.com.au for more details. It's Marto, Ed and Robin on Triple M.
Can we hand out an award before we go? The legend of the day, the man who stepped forward rather than lying down or running backwards. The Lord Stanley on Stanley Street at East Brisbane yesterday, the night before, two crooks ran in. One with a, you saw this, didn't you? One with a machete.
Did.
One with a shoddy. Go in there and try to take the place over. This bloke, all right, everyone else said, yeah, hold on, because they wanted to give us the cash, give us the cash.
Yeah.
This bloke called Andre, he's a Kiwi, he comes out of the pokey area, all right, just looking to get another beer and goes, what's going on here? Picks up the biggest. You might have seen the footage. He swung the stool and just has crumbled this guy. He didn't know much about. Well, let's hear from Andre. Andre, you are our hero of the day, mate.
Well, the first item was when I was just in the back room in the gaming room, and then I just heard the noises, some voices yelling out, stay down, you know, don't move, where's the money, and I heard it, then I heard this sort of repeat again, and I thought, oh, that doesn't sound right. Mm. See this guy waving a machete around. I didn't see the other guy with the shotgun until after I entered and knocked the guy out with the machete, and then as soon as I'd done that, the guy came running around the other side of the bar there, and I seen him coming running around the corner with a shotgun. I go, oh, Christ, there's two of them. I didn't know that, you know. So, yeah, well, his mate was still trying to come to on the floor. Yeah, so it was, you know, it was full on.
So what happened to the shotgun guy?
Oh,
did
no,
he
ran out. He sort of.
Oh, okay.
He realised, hold on, I can be threatening, can't pull the trigger. He ran to the door. Then he realised his mate was unconscious. If it was footy, did you see it, Ed?
I have seen it.
He would have gone to the head injury assessment bin.
Yeah, he had a concussion protocol. He may have failed after going with the chair.
He won't be robbing again for another few weeks.
No,
the doctor said to him, listen, just stay at home. You're not up for it. just hold your fire.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Well done, Andre.
An amazing effort from Andre.
Good on you, brother. Big show on Friday, Ed Cavalier, because it's your last one, mate.
Yeah, but you get the gifts.
Yeah,
I've been squirreling away things for some time. And there is so many wonderful prizes that I'm going to be dishing out. And there's only one person, I'll say it again. There's only one person I want to speak to. All right. So all I really want in life, and his name is Terry. He is formerly of Kalanga, and he's not there anymore. He's changed his phone number. So Terry, if you're listening or if you know someone who knows Terry, you need to get in touch with us. It was Terry who told us the story about the magpies at his school. So Terry from Kalanga. The only person I want to speak to on Friday is you, and please, please get in touch with us.
It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We're going to relive some of your bowls commentary.
Ooh, I like that.
And I tell you what, this has been retired for a very long time, but I reckon we might bring back...
How you going, sweetie? Happy Friday.
Donna.
I haven't met Donna.
Donna from Harrisville.
Donna is the best.
Donna's the best.
Donna, you ring us as well, love. We'll need to speak to you.
Okay.
Ed looking for Terry was like a mum who's lost her child just pleading to the camera. Please help me find him.
It was the happiest day I've ever had on radio in Brisbane. It was just, it was the most Queensland story of all time, and it was told so beautifully. I can't let it go.
Don't let him down. Magpies, police.
Don't let him down, Terry.
Police in uniform, magpies. It's got everything I want. It's got birds losing their lives. It's got everything I want.
All right, last show on Friday. It's going to be a big one. Looking forward to it. It's 9 o'clock.
Marta,
Ed and Robin on Brisbane's Triple M.